It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. If you're a millennial voter, you're in your 20s or 30s and have a few caucus seasons under your belt already. But millennials are no longer the new kids on the block. What's the newest generation coming into focus this election season? Why, that's Generation Z. Anyone born after, say, 1997. These are people now in their early 20s or younger. This hour, we want to explore Gen Z as the newest generation of voters. What are the issues these youngest voters care most about? And how do they differ from older generations, the millennials, the Gen Xers, and of course, the boomers? Later, we'll be meeting a number of Gen Z Iowans across the political spectrum to get a better sense of who they are. But first, let's get an overview from Ruth Igalnik. She is senior researcher at the Pew Research Center. She focuses on the center's research on social and demographic trends, as well as politics and methodology. Ruth, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
I wonder if you could start off by giving us a simple profile, if it exists, of Gen Z voters. What can you tell us?
Absolutely. So as you mentioned, Gen Z, according to our definition, was born after 1997. So these are folks that are younger than the millennials, though we actually see that politically they're pretty similar to millennials on issues like whether or not the government should do more to solve problems, whether or not sort of the increasing racial and ethnic diversity in this country is a good thing. We see that Gen Z is roughly similar to the generation directly above them. They are equally likely to say that climate change is caused by humans, and they are about equally likely to say that some of the sort of social changes that are happening in this country are a good thing.
Mm-hmm. So Gen Z and millennials are very much alike. So how do they contrast, or Gen Z more specifically, with the older generations, Gen X and baby boomers?
They are sort of more politically liberal than those older generations like Gen Z, baby boomers, and the silent generation. They are less likely to approve of the president. They are sort of more likely, as I mentioned, to say that the government should be doing more to solve problems. 7 in 10 members of Gen Z say that the government should be doing more to solve problems compared to half of Gen X members and fewer boomers and silence. So they sort of do see government taking this more active role.
Mm-hmm. When we drill down on that, and I don't know if your surveys, I think we're drawing on a couple of different Pew Research Center surveys of Gen Z respondents here. When we talk about liberal and conservative Gen Z, are the conservatives also more liberal?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And we do particularly see among Republicans, Gen Z really does stand out even from their millennial counterpoints. So, for example, in views of President Trump, Republican members of Gen Z are much less likely to approve of President Trump than millennial Republicans, Gen X Republicans, or boomer Republicans. They are also much more likely to see the racial and ethnic change in this country as a good thing than older Republicans. So Gen Z really does stand out among the more conservative members of our society.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about gender. What do they think about gender and all the implications there? It's changed our language. And of course, same-sex marriage has been an issue for many years.
Yeah, absolutely. So one interesting thing we did see where Gen Z overall is different from millennials is that they are much more likely to know somebody who prefers to use a gender-neutral pronoun to refer to themselves other than male or female or man or woman. However, we see that Gen Z is about as likely as millennials to say that society should be more accepting of people who don't identify as a man or woman. But both of those groups, millennials and Gen Z, are much more likely than members of older generations to say that society should be more accepting of people who don't identify as a man or a woman. And you asked about gender roles, and we also see that millennials and Gen Z are also more likely to sort of be accepting of people taking on different gender roles, both in the home and outside of the home, than older generations.
Mm-hmm. So they're less likely, they see gender not as the older generations tend to see it as a binary, but as a spectrum when they use these, well, they, them, theirs, referencing singular people, so neutral,
right.
gender-neutral pronouns here. So there's a big difference. And that translates into acceptance of same-sex marriage. How?
I can't necessarily say how one translates to another, but we do see that almost half of members of Gen Z and millennials say that gay and lesbian couples being able to marry is a good thing for society, and that's compared to only a third of members of Gen X and smaller shares of boomers and members of the silent generation.
Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit more about race, and of course the U.S. is changing in terms of racial and ethnic diversity. Generation Z people think it's what?
So Generation Z is much more likely to say that racial and ethnic change in this country is a good thing. They're much more likely to say that than members of Gen X or boomers. They are also members of Gen Z are also more likely to say that interracial marriage is a good thing for society, and that's much higher than the shares of older generations who say that. But one sort of interesting thing about Gen Z is that they're not just more likely to say that racial and ethnic change is a good thing, they're actually more likely to bring racial and ethnic change. Nearly half of members of Gen Z are racial and ethnic minorities, which is higher than the share of millennials, Gen Xers, or boomers who are racial and ethnic minorities. So this new generation not only sees racial and ethnic change as a good thing, they are bringing that racial and ethnic change.
Mm-hmm. Having described Gen Z voters, what does this tell us? What does this tell you about what's in store for the future? How are they shaping the electorate?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, it's hard to project forward how they might shape the electorate, but we do know that they voted at relatively high shares in the last election in 2018. Members of Gen Z, millennials, and Gen X they voted at a higher share than boomers and previous generations, so they are starting to outvote their older counterparts, so it'll be interesting to look forward and see how they do actually turn out.
Okay. Ruth Igalnik, thank you very much, senior researcher at the Pew Research Center. We appreciate your time, Ruth.
Thank you.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. We're spending this hour finding out about the youngest generation of voters, Generation Z. That's anyone born after, say, 1997. These people are now in their early 20s or younger, and we're meeting several Gen Z Iowans to talk about voting and their activism in politics. Let's talk with Seba Fahim. Seba is a junior in biosystems engineering at Iowa State University, also co-president of ISU's College Democrats. Seba, welcome to our studio.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for coming in. Let's find out a little bit more about your politics. You're obviously a Democrat. Dig down a little bit. Tell us a little bit more about what concerns you most. What are your top issues?
Well, I'd say my number one issue right now would be climate change. I think that the environment is really important. It's always been really important to me, and that it hasn't been given the consideration that it should have been for the past 20 years, really. And so now we're stuck in this area where we need to make big change really fast in order to do something about the environment. And yeah, that's where I think we're at. We need a president who's going to be giving the environment all the consideration that it needs to and the action that it needs to have.
Mm-hmm. So this is interesting. You name one issue, climate change here. Do you think that's representative of Democrats in the Generation Z among your colleagues there, also fellow Democrats? Do they have different issues that are at the very top, or are you all sort of unified in climate change as being the biggest threat?
So I think most of us would say that climate change is our number one issue. I don't really know if I could speak to what other people's second biggest issue would be. Whenever you ask someone what are they most worried about, climate change is always what's brought up.
Mm-hmm.
And even for myself, that second issue is constantly changing.
For instance, what is it today?
Well, as I was walking over here, I was thinking about reproductive health. And so I think that would be a big issue. And then the immigration policies that we've been seeing recently are also a huge issue for me. And I think that needs to be reformed. And so those are big issues that I'm thinking about right now.
Mm-hmm. Are you backing a specific candidate as we are less than 2 months away from caucus day?
Yes, I am. I'm supporting Elizabeth Warren.
Why?
Well, I think Elizabeth Warren is very smart. I really love that she has a plan for everything and that she's got the exact means of how she wants to enact those plans laid out. I think with a lot of other candidates who are in the race right now, they have good plans and they have good ideas, but they don't really have the means to go about them laid out in the same way that Elizabeth Warren does. And that's what I really appreciate about her. I really value about her strategy to become president.
Mm-hmm. How solid is your support for Elizabeth Warren right now? I mean, could you be swayed?
No, I don't think so.
You know, okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty solid.
If Elizabeth Warren is listening, she'll be very happy to hear that.
I hope she is.
Okay. As we said at the outset, we're sort of exploring your generation of voters. When you compare yourself with other generations, and these are just generalizations, of course, generations do not come all cut and dried ending at certain years, beginning at other years. But when you look at older generations of voters, how would you say you're different, you and others of your age?
Well, yeah, I would say that we're definitely one of the most diverse. Yeah, we're the most diverse generation that we've ever seen. And that's for a number of reasons. Me and a lot of my peers were immigrants. Either we were born in another country or our parents were born in another country. For me, my parents were born in India. My older sister was born in India, but I was born in Elgin, Illinois. And so that makes us different from others in our generation. Along with that, there are more people who are living in rural areas who possibly haven't grown up with the internet. And in those rural areas, there are variations as well. Either you grew up in an agricultural family or you grew up in a non-agricultural family. There's a lot of variations within there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tell us your views on Donald Trump, his policies, the direction he's been taking this country.
I can't say I'm the biggest fan. I really don't think he should be in office. I think he's making a mockery of what the presidency should be. And we can see that with what just happened at NATO, with the other world leaders laughing at us. And I think that's really sad. We never know when we're going to need those allies.
Mm-hmm.
And so for him to be destroying those relationships is really reckless of him.
So you're talking about both his policies and his character. I wonder, in your political discussions with other colleagues, people in your age group, even discussions that may cross into, talking to Republicans of your age, is this a discussion? Do you argue over Donald Trump's fitness for office, his policies?
Yeah, I think definitely as he was running for president and as he was going against Hillary Clinton, and as we got closer and closer to 2016, a few years ago, that was a big discussion that we were having. Was he fit for office? And I would see a lot with people on the other side that it almost felt like a lot of excuses were being made for him. Like the things that he were doing that were wrong were being glossed over just because he was the Republican nominee.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so for me, it never really felt like a fair discussion because he wasn't being weighed at the same level that the Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton was.
You are, as I mentioned, co-president of ISU College Democrats. Within the Democratic Party at this time when there are still double-digit numbers of candidates vying for that presidential nomination, unity is a buzzword here. How much do you think about unity? Do you think the Democrats will achieve unity behind one candidate?
Well, I really hope so. Right now in our club, we've made a point not to push our agenda of any one candidate onto the club. Everyone in the club is allowed to support whatever candidate that they so please. And that's a part of wanting unity around the Democratic Party as a whole. You're allowed to like whoever you want. We're still going through caucuses and primaries right now, so you're allowed to do whatever you want then. But then when it comes, when the Democratic nominee is found, that's when we want us to be unified around that Democratic nominee against the Republican nominee.
Mm-hmm. And you're convinced that will happen. You're on the more progressive side of the Democrats. That's why I ask if you get a more, what is seen as more of a middle ground, a centrist candidate, you're okay with that if that means defeating President Trump.
Oh, yeah, I would be okay with that. I know looking back in 2016, there was a bit of a schism that happened in the Democratic field, even on campus, between those who supported Bernie and those who supported Hillary. And so that's a fear of mine that might happen again.
Do you see that indications of that now?
I think people have learned from that. And so I think it would be much less likely for that to happen. Mm-hmm. But that definitely is a worry for me.
Seba, what about the campaigns? Have you been to see candidates talk here in Iowa?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay. Do you feel they're addressing your generation, the youngest generation of voters?
I'd say some are doing a really good job. And you can tell how invested they are in students and young people by how often they're coming to campus and if they have campus organizers, like designated organizers for campus, not just for Ames, for campus. And there are some campaigns who I think are doing a really great job with that.
For instance?
Elizabeth Warren.
Mm-hmm.
Elizabeth Warren has a robust field campaign right here in Ames, in which they've been here since the summer and have had door knocking every single weekend till now. They have a club on campus. They've just been doing a really great job. I think other candidates are also doing a good job. Bernie Sanders, Pete Buttigieg. There are other candidates who have field organizers in this area, but not necessarily campus organizers. And I say they're doing an okay job. They have a pretty decent amount of support. And then there are some candidates who really don't have a lot of on-the-ground support here at all, and that's because they haven't been investing in this community.
February 3rd, caucus day here in Iowa, the first battleground state in the nation. Will this be your first chance at caucusing?
Oh, yes, it will be.
Okay, so what are your thoughts? Are you excited? Are you nervous?
I'm pretty excited. I think it's going to be quite chaotic, mm-hmm. and I'm excited for this to be my first go at it.
From what you've heard, what aspect are you most interested in?
I think I'm just interested in hearing all the candidate representatives talk about their candidate. Every time I've been to a mock caucus, that's definitely the most fun part of it.
A mock caucus. You go to these, huh?
Yeah. Uh-huh. We hosted one, I think, about a month ago, and I went to one last spring.
So you're going to be thoroughly familiar with sort of the horse trading, if I can put it that way, that goes on to achieve viability. What is it, 15%, right?
Yes, 15%.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's talk in closing a little bit about our politics. Now, you're young. May I ask how old?
I'm 21 years old. I actually just turned 21.
Well, happy birthday. Belated birthday to you.
Oh, thank you.
you've been not around as long as many of our listeners, but what are your concerns about the state of our politics? It seems to me all you've ever known in your lifetime, absorbing politics, discussing politics, is a very divisive atmosphere, right?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Mm-hmm. You don't remember a time when I remember a time, many of the listeners remember a time when there was a big middle of consensus, even though they were Democrats and Republicans.
Yeah, I think that time would be maybe like when I was 8 years old or so. That's when I'd say it really started to split, and that's not a time that I remember very well. I really got into politics around the 2015-2016 election. Sorry, the 2016 election, when everything was kind of falling apart.
Right. Yeah. I guess I'm really asking about the state of our politics. You say falling apart. How concerned are you about the general's, not particular policies, but just the way we conduct politics in our country?
I'm pretty concerned. Like when you have someone in the Senate, like Mitch McConnell, who's constantly blocking bills because they don't align with his specific ideas, even if they're for the better of the country, that's concerning. It seems as though there are many people who are in positions of power right now who are more concerned with upholding their party ideas than upholding what's best for the country,
mm-hmm.
which is something that we've seen on the state level as well, where several states would not accept the Medicare expansion, the Medicaid expansion, when Obamacare was being offered, because they did not want to support Obamacare, which left thousands of people in their state without insurance. And they did that only for political reasons. It really seems like they're putting their personal politics above the good of the people within their state.
Seba Fahim, before we go, I want to ask you what will you be doing in the coming weeks in the run-up to the caucuses, maybe more mock caucuses, but will you be active in any other ways?
Yeah, so we want to make sure that students on campus know about the caucus and that they have all the information that they need for it. And so we're going to be handing out flyers. We're going to be hosting events. We're just going to try to make sure that everyone on campus knows that they need to be caucusing, that their voice should be heard, and that they know how to do it.
Okay. Seba Fahim of Iowa State University, a junior in biosystems engineering. Thank you so much for coming in today, Seba.
Thank you for having me.
After a short break, we'll meet two more Iowa Generation Z voters. These are our youngest voters, people now in their early 20s or younger. We'll meet Isha Kalia. She's a 17-year-old, a senior at Lynn Mar High School, a Democrat, and climate change is her big issue. Before that, I'll talk with Republican Kyle Apple from Eldridge, Iowa. He's 22 years old and a senior at the University of Iowa, majoring in political science and economics, also formerly president of the UI College Republicans. Here's a little preview of Kyle's concerns about the state of our politics.
I think polarization is one thing that I never took issue with as I was getting into politics, but since 2016 and since really immersing myself in campus politics, seeing the divides that exist not only between different people of different political ideologies, but people of different personal characteristics and beliefs as well. There is a growing race divide. There's a growing gender divide. There's a growing political divide and a personal divide on campus. And I think that we need to get away from letting politics separate people. Mm-hmm. And there's a number of ways that that's happening on both a local and a national level. But I think the growing divide and polarization between people and communities is one of the most alarming things.
More from Republican Kyle Apple of Eldridge, one of the Generation Z voters we're getting to know this hour, after a short break. I'm Ben Kiefer. This is River to River from Iowa Public Radio News.
Hey, feeling good, like I should. Went in to walk around the neighborhood. Feeling blessed, never stressed. Got that sunshine on my Sunday best. Yeah, hey, hey. Every day can be a better day despite the challenge. All you gotta do is leave it better than you found it. It's gonna get difficult to stand, but hold your balance. I just say whatever, cause there is no...
And we're back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Today, getting to know several of our youngest voters, Iowans who are being called Generation Z, people now in their early 20s or younger. Let's meet Kyle Apple from Eldridge, Iowa. He's 22 years old, a senior at the University of Iowa studying political science and economics, also former president of the UI College Republicans. I began my recent conversation with him by asking him to give us a closer snapshot of his politics.
Yeah, so I didn't really get involved in politics until I was about halfway through high school. My sophomore year is when I kind of started paying a little bit more attention. And then as a junior, when I took AP Gov, that's really what sparked a real interest in politics in me. It was right around the elections of 2014. And I got involved on the ground doing some work for the local Republican Party. And really, as I kind of read through their platform, realized that I associated myself closer with them than I did with the Democratic Party, mainly on economic issues. Taxes were one of the main driving forces behind that. And as I've gone, as I've developed in politics, come up through the Republican Party, I'm realizing that I do pretty closely align myself with a lot of the ideas that the Republican Party stands for.
Okay. Fiscal conservative, smaller government,
yes,
generally
sure.
Speaking. Let's go to the social side of things. Are you a social conservative?
It depends on the issue. Lately, with what we're seeing with immigration, I would say yes, I am. Mm-hmm. I tend to break from the party a little bit more on the traditional views towards marriage, just because I think that that's not something that the government should be involved in.
So, same-sex marriage?
Yeah.
You're fine with that?
I'm fine with that. I think it's one of those things where, as a small government conservative, It's one of the things that I don't like the government getting involved in. And anytime that you can get the government out of something that it shouldn't have been in to begin with, I think is a good step in the right direction. I tend to be a Republican more so on the fiscal side of things, and I tend to sit on the sidelines as far as taking a stance on a lot of the social issues.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk specifically about where we are. We're a couple months away from caucus day here in Iowa, of course, the general election in 2020, November of next year. How do you feel about that? Are you a supporter of Donald Trump?
I am, yes.
Mm-hmm. Why?
I think that one of the main things is for the presidents that I've seen, a lot of presidents and candidates for president will make a lot of promises, and then they don't have the drive or the wherewithal to actually go out and try to achieve those promises. So one of the things that I think everybody should appreciate, unfortunately not everybody does, is that he's stuck to his promises. Whether you like his promises or dislike his promises, there's no denying that.
What are the greatest achievements you see so far in his administration?
I think tax reform is one of the biggest ones. Like I've said over and over, taxes and the economy are very important to me. And right now, the economy is doing very well. The stock market is over 28,000 for the first time.
And you see that's due to Trump's policies.
I do think that some of the economic policies that he has championed and implemented are driving that economy in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. As you well know, Democrats, independents, but also some Republicans are not real happy with this president for a variety of reasons. Do you run into these Republicans?
In my circles, not really. As the former president of the UICRs, most of the members of our groups were pretty strong supporters of President Trump. Mm-hmm. So within the circles that I run in here on campus, I don't necessarily, from my Republican friends, see a lot of breaking from the party line and breaking from supporting Trump.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's talk about you're at the University of Iowa campus as a Republican. And how many are in your group?
I'm not sure. I haven't been as involved this semester. But when I was leading it, anywhere from 50 to 80. During the midterm elections in 2018, we sort of peaked right around 80 to 90.
Mm-hmm. Of course, the University of Iowa, well over 30,000 students, and Johnson County, one of the most liberal counties in the state, that went for Donald Trump by over 9 percentage points in 2016. I wonder, Kyle, do you feel on the University of Iowa campus that you have a place to openly share your conservative views?
In some situations I do, and in some situations I do not. It was always a fun experience going out on the Pentacrest with a clipboard and trying to register voters with the Republican Party, because you'd get the occasional person that comes up and talks to you for 20 minutes like, oh my God, I didn't know you guys existed on campus. I thought I was alone. And then you get a lot of the passersby that throw you dirty looks, make offhanded comments to you.
Some verbal abuse.
A little bit. I wouldn't say anybody's over the top. We've never been outwardly harassed. It's just, you know.
So you feel like you have free speech on campus?
I do generally feel like if I'm standing out there with a clipboard, I do have the right to be there and nobody's going to try to shut me down. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you have, issues aside, policies aside, the state of our politics? What are your greatest concerns about that as we head into this, toward the caucuses, into the election season as a young Republican?
I think polarization is one thing that I never took issue with as I was getting into politics, but since 2016 and since really immersing myself in campus politics, seeing the divides that exist not only between different people of different political ideologies, but people of different personal characteristics and beliefs as well. There is a growing race divide. There's a growing gender divide. There's a growing political divide and a personal divide on campus, and I think that we need to get away from letting politics separate people. Mm-hmm. And there's a number of ways that that's happening on both a local and a national level. But I think the growing divide and polarization between people and communities is one of the most alarming things.
Mm-hmm. As a young Republican, and I would say since you are former president of the University of Iowa College Republicans, an activist of sorts, what are you doing to shrink that divide, to find common ground?
So I've given a couple of presentations to a couple of freshman level classes here at the university. It was a panel discussion between myself and the then president of the university, Democrats. And I think it's conversations like that where you give younger students, freshmen at the university who are going to be the next student leaders, campus leaders, and professional leaders after they graduate, give them an opportunity to ask questions of both parties side by side. They can be the easy questions or they can be the tough questions. And really try to get them exposed to both perspectives at once. Because if they see me talking to the president of the university, Dems, and they see us answering the same question side by side, joking around with each other, they're going to realize that, okay, yeah, we disagree on a lot of things.
And civil war is not in our near future.
No. No, they're going to see that, you know, we disagree on a lot of the issues, but we have a lot of similarities. Both of us want what's best for this country. We just have different ideas about how to go about that. And we're not enemies. We're just friends that have different ideas.
Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of rhetoric on the internet, on cable television, that will tell you otherwise, that will paint the others.
Oh, yeah.
The president you support has said, I am one of the enemy of the people, for instance. Members of the press, who knows what specific part of the press he was talking about, but he did name the press as enemies of the people. So there is rhetoric that is not as happy and comfortable as you described there.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it starts local. I think when you hear that, okay, the media is the enemy of the people, we'll take this for example, from a very top-down perspective, that may very well appear to be the case. But let's take it at a local level. I'm sitting here talking to you. I don't think you're the enemy of the people. I am very good friends with, in my hometown of Eldridge, some of the local reporters in Eldridge. Mm-hmm. Those are my friends. They're not enemies of the people. As we go to the state level, I don't have – 22 years old. I don't have connections with state level media, but as you grow from the ground up, you're going to see that these people are not enemies. These people are your friends that may have different ideas for what the right direction for the country is. When you take things top down, it's easy to get lost in that narrative of, I disagree with somebody, they're my enemy. But when you take it from a local level and you start by knowing people and you build relationships up, I think that can stop a little bit of that top down polarization.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If you just joined us, Kyle Apple is with me as we take a sampling of the Gen Z. These are the newest voters we have here in Iowa, across the country. Kyle Apple is 22 years old, from Eldridge, Iowa, senior at the University of Iowa, poli-sci and economics major. Let me ask you specifically about your generation. How would you say, I don't know what kind of sense you have of this, but how are Gen Z Republicans different than Republicans who are older, Gen Xers or baby boomers?
I'm not necessarily sure because I don't have a huge sample size of that. Most of my Republican friends are here from the state of Iowa. So I can tell you that Iowa Republicans are similar in general to the older Republicans because that's who we look up to. I know a lot of my friends in the university Republican circles are very Reagan-esque. A lot of us care about the economy. A lot of us want to be that compassionate conservative brand. We don't necessarily want to be what a lot of people see Republicans as nowadays, where we just want to trigger the left. We just want to get a nice soundbite out there and we want to trigger people and we want to call them snowflakes and call them, we want to destroy the libs. Now, I think we want real actionable policies that we can talk about. We don't want to sit here and just try to make people mad. And that's
it sounds like you want allies.
Well, I would love more allies. Everybody should be a Republican ally, in my opinion. But I think it's not that we want to go out and just, you know, kind of destroy the world with our vision and then, you know, overthrow everything and take it over. I think the conversation between Republicans and Democrats is good. And I think that most of the Republicans so far that I've run into in my dealings with the party, we want to go back to kind of that Reagan-esque, compassionate conservative, put the economy first, and we'll shake everything out from there.
There's a little bit of a contradiction there because a lot of people who would say, I want the Reagan-esque Republican Party would say that's very much different than the Trump Republican Party. And they would say, now this party belongs to Donald Trump, and Donald Trump is not very much like Ronald Reagan. What would you say to those people?
I don't think the party belongs to any one person. There's one person who's always at the top of the party at one given time, but that doesn't mean that the party as a whole should be represented by one single person. I think the longstanding tradition of the Republican Party should be represented by all of its years of existence and not by any one person at any one time.
Mm-hmm. So did you caucus in 2016?
I did.
Mm-hmm. How did that go?
It was an interesting experience, my first time getting involved in a caucus.
Did you go in supporting Donald Trump?
I did not. I went in supporting Marco Rubio.
Mm, okay. And the Republican caucus is different than the Democratic one in
yes.
that you do mark a ballot, right? There's not this horse trading going on.
Yeah.
Okay. Caucus for 2020. Do you plan to caucus?
This year, I actually don't plan to. There's a couple of reasons that are driving that decision. Number one, Donald Trump is the only Republican candidate who will ultimately end up having a chance at winning the
Joe Walsh and Bill Weld in the running, but you don't think they have a chance? I mean, most analysts say, but I mean, they are in the running.
Yeah, they are. And depending on what the numbers look like leading up to the caucus, that may drive my decision elsewhere. But as of right now, I see only one legitimate candidate in the Republican caucus. And as somebody who's getting ready to graduate and I'm going through the law school application process right now, I've got a lot of other things that I need to worry about. And although I have been an unapologetic supporter of our president, it's just one of those things that I think is already in the bag.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much. Kyle Apple from Eldridge, Iowa, 22 years old, a senior at the University of Iowa. Thanks for coming in, Kyle.
Thanks for having me.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Well, this hour, if you've been listening, we're finding out about the youngest generation of voters, Generation Z, anyone born after, roughly 1997. They're people now in their early 20s or younger. We're meeting several Gen Z Iowans. Let's meet Isha Kalia, is a senior at Lynn Mar High School. She's 17 years old. Isha, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Looking at a number of notes, it looks like you're very active there at Lynn Mar High School, co-founder of You Renew Climate Club, also the Iowa Future Business Leaders of America State Vice President, and Lynn Mar's National Honors Society President. Very active there. Let's have you quickly describe yourself politically. Are you registered with a party?
Yes, I'm actually a registered Democrat right now.
Mm-hmm. How do you describe yourself past your Democratic Party affiliation?
So I would say I'm kind of a single-issue voter. One of my top priorities right now is the climate, as you can tell, because of my club that I founded. So that tends to be one of my top priorities when I'm looking at politics. But obviously, I do lean more liberal on a lot of the other issues as well.
Mm-hmm. What makes climate your top issue, your single issue, I guess you say?
Yeah, I think it's mainly because climate is so important because it's an existential threat, right? So if we don't figure out what we're going to do about the climate and our carbon footprint soon, it's going to start affecting all of our lives and all of the future generations' lives. So I think that without fixing the climate, a lot of the other problems become not as important because if we can't control the climate, then we won't be able to have a habitable Earth.
Mm-hmm. Understood. Aside from climate, what do you put in your priorities in terms of issues?
I think abortion is another big one for me. Being female, I think that all women should have the right to an abortion. So that's one that tends to be a top priority to me. I think, let me think. I know I'm a little bit split on immigration. Just because, again, I am an immigrant. And my parents are immigrants. I was born here, but that's another one that I care about a little bit more. And I guess, like, welfare and healthcare, those ones aren't as important to me just because I feel like, as a high schooler, I don't really know enough about it, and I feel like I don't interact with that stuff enough for me to have a solid opinion on that.
Mm-hmm.
So I tend to focus more on the issues that are facing me directly.
Mm-hmm. So are you backing a specific candidate this time? This will be your first time around. I imagine it sounds like you're politically active. You'll be attending the caucuses.
Yes, I am planning to attend the caucuses. And currently I'm planning to caucus for Pete just because I really wanted to caucus for someone who I think has a chance of beating Trump. Because while I do agree, I know climate plan-wise, Bernie and Warren have some of the stronger climate plans. But I do think that if they were selected to run up against Trump, just because they're so progressive, I don't think the Republican Party would side with them as much. So I am leaning a little bit more towards Pete just because I think he has a better chance of winning.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so this is interesting. If you could decide it just yourself, you would be more of a Warren or a Sanders voter, but you're saying you're sort of figuring in what you think the larger electorate will do in terms of electing or beating Trump, as you say.
Yes, that is correct.
Mm-hmm. Do you have discussions very often with people with very different political views than you?
Yeah, I actually do have a few friends who are Republican, and we do talk about who they're going to be caucusing for. And one thing that I have noticed, like I was saying earlier, is that many of the Republicans tend to be leaning towards Pete because they do think that he's a little bit more moderate, and a lot of them don't support Trump, but they would support Pete over Trump. So that's another reason that's kind of pushed me towards voting, caucusing and voting for Pete, is just because I've seen how in my own community, how people are leaning towards him, whether, like, no matter what party they are a part of.
Mm-hmm. What about when you can compare your generation, you're 17 years old, with the older generations, Gen Xers or Boomers? Do you have a lot of discussions with the older voters?
Well, I guess the majority of people I would talk to would be my teachers and my parents, and teachers tend to be more liberal and left, so I kind of hear their opinions. But my parents are a little bit more moderate, so especially fiscally and economically, they do tend to lean more conservative. So when I'm talking to them, like issues like that, I do see a little disagreement. But again, I think that's due to the fact that because I'm in high school, I haven't really done any taxes, and I haven't like faced that kind of economic pressure. So I do agree that I might not know as much about that, but that's the one time I've kind of noticed differences in opinions, is when I talk to my parents and they have very different economic opinions than I do.
Mm-hmm. Caucus day here in Iowa, February 3rd, less than 2 months away. What are your thoughts about your first time caucusing? Are you looking forward to it? Are you anxious in any way?
I guess I would say a little bit of both. I'm definitely excited to do it for the first time and have the opportunity to caucus for the first time, but I am a little bit nervous just because caucusing isn't like voting. Like, you don't go in and fill out a piece of paper and then leave. It's really more of a discussion, and you go stand and people can see your opinions. So I am a little bit nervous, but I think it'll be exciting to get to hear everyone's opinions about the different candidates and why they're voting for who they are, and I'll get to learn a lot through the process as well.
Mm-hmm. What will you be doing between now and caucus day? Will you be doing working for any party? You said you're most interested at this point in Pete Buttigieg. Would you be knocking on doors, for instance, for Pete Buttigieg or another candidate?
I don't actually work for the Pete campaign. I have a lot of friends who do, though, so I know when he's having events, and I always try to go to the different Pete events to kind of learn more. I know there's a lot of Pete parties happening in neighborhoods, so I try to go to those, but I don't actually work directly for the campaign, but I do a lot of work with the Sunrise Movement, Cedar Rapids, and they do a lot of climate-related work. So, for example, we had the first ever Cedar Rapids climate strike was on Friday, and I spoke at that climate strike. So typically with candidates, I haven't been doing direct work, but I am doing climate work, which in the end relates to the different candidates.
Mm-hmm. Issues aside, policies aside, give me your thoughts. Share your thoughts about the state of our politics ahead of these 2020 elections, how we talk about politics, cross-generational or otherwise, between parties, for instance.
I think one thing I've noticed as time has gone on is how polarized our political spectrum has become. And I do definitely think that's a problem, because when we are so polarized, it gets hard for people to understand the other party's opinion and try to agree with what they're saying. So that's one problem that I've started to see, especially recently, is how politically polarized our country has become. And I think it would just be so much better if we could all take time to listen to one another and listen to each other's opinions and especially listen to each other's experiences, because I think experiences really help decide what someone's political party is.
Isha, you said you're very excited about the upcoming caucuses. Have you had a chance to meet with the candidates?
Yeah, I've actually met with a lot of them through Sunrise Movement, like I was saying. I've gone to a Joe Biden event. I've personally met with Elizabeth Warren, Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, and Pete. I also got to do a roundtable discussion with Pete specifically about climate, where there was only like 10 other people. So that was kind of a personalized conversation I got to have with him, which was super cool. And I actually hosted a climate forum here at Linmar with presidential candidate Julian Castro. So he came in and we asked him questions in front of an audience in the high school. And that was super cool because we got to talk to him before the event as well and kind of hear from him.
Wow. It sounds like you've had a lot of experiences, and we have many weeks to go before the caucuses. Isha Kalia, a senior at Linmar High School, 17 years old. Thank you for sharing a little bit about yourself politically, Isha. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for inviting me to this show.
And that finishes up our visits with Iowa Gen Z voters. River to River is produced by Caitlin Harrop, Rick Brewer, and Matt Alvarez. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.